Book of Amos, in the Old Testament there, the book of Amos. We're going to begin in chapter 7, the book of Amos, chapter 7. You get into, if you find Matthew and just kind of go back a little bit, you'll hit Haggai and Obadiah and Amos there. Amos, chapter 7, I'll give you a moment to find your place. Amos chapter 7, not a book that you really hear a whole lot of preaching on. Sometimes some of these smaller books of the Bible, these minor prophets of the Bible, we don't really hear a whole lot out of them. But I tell you what, they had a tremendous message for the folks then and for the folks today. But the book of Amos, and we're going to look at chapter 7, and we'll begin there in verse 10. And we'll go from verse 10 to verse 17 here in just a few moments. But Amos chapter 7. And we'll begin there in verse 10. The title of my message is, Tell It Like It Is. You know, it wasn't long ago, whenever we had the Tuckers, they were here, they sung a song that said, Tell It Like It Is. And so that's what Amos was. Amos, he was a fireball preacher that went down through Israel. And he was preaching to them. And I tell you what a blessing he was. But those folks down there didn't really think so. But he was a fireball preacher, and I tell you what, he was bound and determined to do what God had called him to do, and he went down through there, went down through Israel, and boy, I tell you what, he really stirred up the hornet's nest, and he really got things going. But you know, he was doing what God had called him to do. He did what God asked him to do, and God definitely blessed. And so I tell you what, we're not responsible for results. Does that make sense? We're not responsible for the results that we do. We're just responsible to do what God's asked us to do, and we leave all the results up to God. Amen? We pray about what God wants us to do, and then we do it, and then we just leave the results up to Him. And sometimes results aren't always what we want. Sometimes the results aren't what we ask for, but we pray about it, and we leave the results up to God. Because listen, if we was to say, well, it didn't turn out, I prayed about it, and you know, and I felt like this is what God wanted me to do, and it didn't turn out like I wanted it to, or I don't think that was the right thing. Well, if you prayed about it and you knew that's what God told you to do, and it didn't turn out the way you wanted it to, then you're in essence saying that God told you not to do the right thing. And so we definitely don't want to do that. And so we see here that he was a fireball preacher that went down through Israel. And the results, of course, were left up to God. It didn't necessarily go maybe how a lot of other people wanted. But I tell you what, he was such a blessing. And as we begin there in verse 10, I want us to see some things. So we go from verse 10 to verse 17, some things that God really shows us here in His Word about how we can actually relate the time that they were at then to the time that we're in today. And as we begin here, I want you to see some things I think will definitely be a blessing to you as we pull it out. Let's take a look at it. Let's begin there in verse 10. Tell it like it is with the prophet Amos going down through the nation of Israel. And as he was going down through the nation of Israel, we're going to begin there with Amaziah the priest. And notice what he says there in verse 10. The Bible says, Then Amaziah the priest of Bethel. Now Bethel means house of God. That's what Bethel means. And so we have Amaziah. He's the priest of the house of God. And he sent to Jeroboam, the king of Israel, saying, Amos hath conspired against thee in the midst of the house of Israel. The land is not able to bear all his words. Now, when we think about that, the Bible shows us here there was a priest, and this priest here, he was the priest of the house of God. But the nation of Israel at this time was not, they weren't living for God, they weren't really serving God. A lot of them were just straddling the fence. A lot of them were serving false gods and things like that. And so God sent Amos down through there because he had a message of judgment for them, and God needed them to hear some things, and the only way they would hear it is if he sent this man down through there. So he did. And so Amos went down through there, and he started preaching and preaching and preaching, and he went throughout all of Israel. And boy, he really stirred things up, got people going, made people mad. I mean, people were just upset about his preaching. They just didn't, man, they heard Amos was coming. There was folks, they didn't want to hear nothing that he had to say. Man, he was a fireball preacher that went down through there, and he was the man that just told it like it was. And if you didn't like it, then that's just I'm sorry for you, but it's what God said to say. And that's the kind of preacher that he was. And he went down through there. And man, he really got things all stirred up. And notice what the Bible says. The Bible says there in verse 10 that Amaziah the priest, he was the priest of the house of God. He goes to the king and he says, Amos is out here and he's out there. He's at it again. He's out there preaching. He's going down here. He's going down there. Man, I tell you, he's just getting everybody all upset with his preaching. He's just making everybody mad. He says, listen, the land is not able to bear his words. The land can't handle it. He says, the land cannot handle the words. The land cannot handle the message that he has. And as I thought about that, I thought about the world today. I thought, you know what? We're living also in a society today that cannot handle the message of God, that cannot handle the preaching on sin. Does that make sense? We live in a world, a society that can't handle the preaching on sin. They don't want to hear preaching on sin. They don't want to have nothing to do with it. The Bible says in the last days, that what people will do is that they will seek teachers that will tickle their ears. That they will seek preachers and they will seek churches and they will seek people that will just tickle their ears, tell them what they want to hear, tell them how good everything is and just sugarcoat everything and just tell them what they want. Listen, if you have somebody that loves you, they're going to tell you how it is, not just what you want to hear. Amen. And God loves you, but he also wants you to see how it is. And how is it? We're sinners. We're lost. We need to get saved. And the only way to get to heaven is through his son. Amen. That's right. Listen, God loved you enough to show you that the only way for you to get to heaven was through his son, the Lord Jesus. He just told it like it was. Listen, he says, listen, you're a sinner. You're lost. You're going to a devil's hell. Everybody wants to do their own thing, go their own way. And the only way for you to get things right is to believe and accept my son as your personal savior. But listen, we're living in a world today that a land that can't handle that truth. Listen, we're living in a land that can't handle the preaching on sin. Sin like it was taught and preached on 50 years ago. Amen. That's exactly right. Yeah, because churches today, let me tell you something. These churches today, I preached at a church one time. Before I came here to Gospelite, I preached at a church one time, and I got down there. They had invited me to come and preach for them. I got down there. I stood there in the pulpit. Right before I even got in the pulpit, what I did was I walked around, and I just kind of looked in the pews. Did they have any pew Bibles, you know, and what kind of pew Bibles were they, you know? And I looked around at all that kind of stuff, you know, what kind of, just seeing what all was going on. And then one of the guys, they didn't have a pastor. The guy comes up to him, and he says, listen, now when you preach, he says, don't go past 12 o'clock. Well, that right there done put me in dire straits. That right there done put me in dire straits. And I'm sitting here thinking, hey, man, I was just like, I can't put God in a box. Listen, when it's done, it's done. When it's over, you know. Why say, God, you got 30 minutes to tell me what you got to tell me, and after that, that's it. Listen, I want God to tell me everything he's got to tell me. You know, and so he says, listen, you don't preach past 12 o'clock, because if you do, the deacon's going to be sitting there and they're going to be pointing at their watch, and you can't preach past 12 o'clock, man. You're going to get people upset. I was like, all right. And then he says, and also don't get too loud. Don't get loud. Don't get loud. And I was sitting there thinking to myself, all right. Well, see, now they done put me in a mousetrap here. You know, I'm on pins and needles. You know, what in the world? How am I supposed to preach to these people? And so I'm standing there, and I get up, and I prayed about it, and I said, God, you're just going to have to help me. I mean, I don't know what in the world to do. And I just felt like God just saying, you know what, Brian? Hey, listen, you just be you. You be who I called you to be, and you tell them what I'm telling. You tell them the message that I gave you this morning. And so I prayed about it and prayed about it and prayed about it, and I got up there in the pulpit because, listen, let me tell you something. You know what those folks were used to for 5, 6, 7 years, I think it was? They'd get up there, the preacher, I'm not banging on people, I'm just telling this. He'd preach off his phone. And then not only that, but he would read a verse and then read poems and tell stories, and everybody would go to the house. That was the service. Read a few poems, read a verse of scripture, tell a couple of good stories, and everybody went home. That was what they had for 7 years. And I get up there in the pulpit, and I get up there, and I got this message that God had given me, and I stood up there and I just preached to them just like I preached to y'all. And I got up there and I just let it out, and I stood there at the back of the door and everybody walking out, and I was walking out to my car, first time I'd ever even been there, didn't know a soul in that place. And I was walking to my car, and here comes the deacons running out to me. Hey, you want to be our pastor? No lie. Amy shakes her head. She'd tell you right there. First time I'd ever even been there. I've been in the place for an hour. I didn't even teach Sunday school. All I did was just preach that morning. I'm not saying that lift me up. It had nothing to do with me. I'm just trying to say that there's churches out here scattered all across America that can't handle the truth. And there's preachers that are not telling the truth. Listen, God called us to tell it how it is, and we just got to see it for how it is. Amen? We got to see the world for how it is. We got to see for sin how it is, and we just got to get the message out. And so the Bible shows us Amos, man, he was one of them preachers. He went out there, and the Bible says that this Amaziah, the priest, man, he was all upset. He goes to the king. King, we got to do something about Amos. He's out there. He's at it again. He's preaching again, and he says, listen, the land is not able to bear his words. The land cannot endure it. He's out there preaching on sin. He's out there preaching on judgment. He's out there preaching on all these things that everybody's doing. And he's talking about how God's gonna bring judgment to this place, how they need to get right with God. And the Bible says the land couldn't bear it. They couldn't stand it. They couldn't. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know what to think. And everybody was all upset because he was out there preaching on all kinds of stuff. Listen, I can only imagine the things that he was preaching about back then. Listen, we need to hear some preaching today on what sin is and how God feels about sin. I'll start with this. Number one, I'm going to preach on homosexuality this morning. Listen, I don't care. God didn't create two men there in the very beginning. Amen. It was one man and it was one woman, and that's how God created it. That's how God intended it. And that's how it's supposed to be. One man and one woman. That's the way it is. And I was out on the town, took my daughter out on Friday night, and we went to downtown in Lynchburg and was out there, and I saw a church out there that was promoting a homosexual lifestyle. And I was walking by it, and I looked over there and just happened to see it, and it was a church that was promoting a homosexual lifestyle, proclaiming that it was okay, and all this stuff, and saying, you know, how God just accepts everybody. Listen, God does accept you whenever you get saved, but listen, when you get accepted by Him, He expects you to change. Does that make sense? He expects you to change. He expects you to be different. Listen, you do come as you are. God's willing to accept you. God's willing to forgive you. But when you come to Him, that God expects you to change yourself. Through His help, you know? And so, yes, homosexuality, is it right? No, it's not. It's a lie that pulpits all across America today are preaching that it's okay. And it's not. And denominations are falling by the dozens. Caving in to the peer pressure from this world and thinking that the homosexuality is all right, and it's not. It's not. Not only that, but preaching on abortion too. Hey, abortion's not right neither. Abortion's murder. That's what it is. And the Bible says that God hates hands that shed innocent blood. That's right, abortion's murder. But we live in a society today where it's okay, it's my body, my choice. Well, listen, this is His body. Where does His choice come from? Where's His choice come from? The Bible says that every baby that is created and born inside of you was made by the hand of God. Amen. Made by the hand of God. How do you have a right to terminate that on your own free will? Why is it okay? Now, why is it okay that if a man kills a woman and she's pregnant, that he gets charged with a double homicide if you don't think that baby in there is a person? That's exactly right. Listen, this world's confused. They got this thing backwards, and the Bible shows us, listen, we got to see these things. Homosexuality, no, it's not right. Abortion, no, it's not right. Alcohol and drugs, we understand. None of that stuff is right. The addictions that we have, gambling, all that stuff, gossiping, slandering, the cussing, foul language, the cheating, stealing, and the loose living and adultery, none of that stuff's right. And I tell you what, Amos was going down through Israel, and boy, he was just lighting them up when he was going down through there. And I tell you what, they were mad and they were irritated and they couldn't stand it. And there he was, just telling them like it is. And there in verse 11, he says, Thus Amos saith, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away captive out of their own land. He says, listen, he's out there pronouncing judgment upon sin. Listen, one of the problems we have today is that people don't want to be accountable. They don't want to hear about accountability. They don't want to hear about their sin, that there's going to be judgment for it, that there is a God in heaven. They don't want to hear about preaching on Jesus, that he is the only way. They don't want to hear about no preaching on the blood of Christ. They don't want to hear about none of that stuff. It's just do your own thing, go your own way, get to heaven how you ever want to get there. I don't care what Oprah says, and I don't care what any of the rest of them say. Jesus said that there's only one way you can get to heaven, and that was through him. Amen. And that was through him. Listen, man, we got to see it. So, man, Amos, he was going down through there and he was just lighting everybody up. Nobody could handle it. That they couldn't take it. The Bible says the land could not endure it. The land couldn't endure it. Churches all across America today can endure the preaching that they had 50 years ago. They can't endure it. They can't handle it. They can't have it. You know why? Because as the church age has moved on through time, the church has become more like the world than anything else. And so people out there cannot handle the real truth of God. There's a lot of people out there that just cannot handle the real truth of what God has to say in his word. Oh, I went down into that church at Gospelite, and that preacher, he preached on that. And I tell you what, that just offended me. And I ain't never going back. Well then, listen, you didn't get mad at me, you got mad at God. Amen. You didn't get mad at me, you got mad at God. And so first thing you got to do is you got to work things out right with God. And then after you get that worked out, you'll probably be all right. But you didn't get mad at me, you got mad at the Lord. And listen, I'm a sinner too, and when I read God's word, listen, it stomps on my toes. And I tell my people before, listen, when I preach to you, listen, God just stepped on my toes before he got to yours. That's how it is. It hurts me. The Bible says there, verse 11, for thus Amos saith, Jeroboam shall die by the sword, and Israel shall surely be led away and captive of their own land. They couldn't handle the preaching on judgment to come. And get to verse 12. The Bible says also, Amaziah said unto him, so now see, first we see Amaziah talking to the king. Now he's left, and he finds Amos. Now he's talking to Amos. And Amaziah said unto Amos, he says, O thou seer, that's what they called the prophets, a lot of them. O thou seer, notice what he says. He says, go, flee thee away into the land of Judah, and there eat bread and prophesy there. He says, listen, just get out of here. Amaziah comes to Amos and he says, listen, we don't want to hear no more what you got to say. We don't want no more of that preaching down here. We don't want no more preaching on sin and talking about judgment to come. Listen, the land cannot bear it. We just can't take it. You're going to have to get out of here with that stuff. He says, look, just go on, get away, flee, go to another place, go to Judah and go down there and eat bread and live down there and dwell down there and just have a happy life and go down there and preach all that stuff somewhere else, but don't come down here and preach it down here because we don't want it. Listen, there's a lot of churches around here today that are exactly the same way. Yeah, there's a lot of people around that can't handle the word of God. Can't handle the truth when it comes out, and when it's preached on, man, they can't take it. And he says, listen, you just need to get out of here. He says, man, we just can't handle this stuff. You just need to go somewhere else with that kind of stuff. You just go down there. You prophesy down there. You preach down there. Don't preach over here. You just go down there and preach down there. Those people will probably gladly love to have you. You just go down there and preach for them, and you'll just live a good life, and everything will be fine. But, man, just leave us alone down here. We don't want it. And that's how the world feels about the church. Man, I wish some people would just go away. Man, I tell you what, them Christians, them preachers, they are just a thorn in our side. I wish they would just go somewhere else, that they weren't even here anymore, that they would just go, listen, let me tell you something. They's come today, I ain't going to be here. One of these days, I am going to leave out of here because I'm going to hear the voice of the sound of the archangel. I'm going to hear the trump of God, and there in the twinkling of an eye, just like that, boom, I'm going to be gone. I'm going to be out of here, and everybody's going to be looking around saying, what in the world happened to Pastor Brian? Brian's not here anymore. He's standing on the clouds. I'm standing on the clouds in heaven because the rapture's done take place and I'm gone and I'm out of here. See, one of these days, the world's already wishing the Christians weren't here and doing everything they can to push us out. I mean, great day in the morning, you can't say Jesus and part near anything anymore. Can't have the Bible nowhere, can't do any of this stuff. They every year the world is just closing in its grip more and more and more on God's people, doing away with this and doing away with this, can't do this, can't do this, can't do that. And Amos, man, he went down through there, and I tell you what, he really stirred up the hornet's nest. And they said, you know what, we don't want you here. But you know what? The results maybe were not necessarily what he was looking for, but we don't leave the result. The results don't belong to us. The results belong to God. You just do what God said to do, and you leave everything to him. He had joy in knowing that he did what God said for him to do. Not just in the results, he did what God said to do. The Bible says there in verse 12 that they told this prophet, you just get out of here. You just flee. You go somewhere else. And there in verse 13, he says, but prophesy not again anymore at Bethel. Don't even come back here. It's amazing that the one preaching the word of God isn't allowed to come into the house of God. For it, notice, see, they changed it. He says there in verse 13, prophesy not anymore unto Bethel, which is the house of God. But notice, he says, for it is the king's chapel. This is the king's sanctuary. No, it's not. It's God's. It's God's. Don't you come down here and preach any more of that stuff. Listen, we don't want you to preach that. We don't want you to preach the word of God in the house of God. That's ridiculous. Listen, this is the king's chapel. And I can imagine Amos probably standing over there looking at him, just shaking his head. Thinking, see, y'all think all this belongs to you, and it don't. It belongs to God. It belongs to him. And he says, we don't want you down here anymore. This belongs to the king. This is the king's chapel. This is the king's court. So they had misplaced. They had kicked God out. And they had misplaced their faith and their trust. And then Amos says there in verse 14, then answered Amos. Notice what he says. Then Amos answered and said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son. He says, but I was a herdman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. He says, listen, you're telling me you don't want me to come down here and preach. He says, but let me tell you something. He said, I'm just doing what God asked me to do. He says, you want to know what I was doing before I came down here? He says, I was just living my own life. He says, I was a herdman. I guarded the sheep and I watched the sheep and I just herded all the flocks. And he says, and I would gather fruit together. And he says, listen, this is what I used to do before I even came here. He says, I'm not doing this because because this is something I chose to do. He says, I'm doing this because this is what God called me to do. He says, the reason why I'm here is because God called me here, and I'm sorry if what I'm saying isn't what you want to hear, but this is what God called me to say. And that's what he's trying to get out. He says, listen, my life, he says, my dad wasn't a prophet. He says, I wasn't born a prophet. He says, my dad wasn't a prophet. Ain't like I got some genealogy of prophets, and this is just what, you know, this is just what I'm supposed to do because this is what mom and dad wanted me to do, or because this is what grandma wanted me to do. Listen, I my dad wasn't a prophet. I wasn't even born this way. I'm just doing this because this is what God told me to do. Because this is what I used to do. This is the life I used to have. That's what I did. But God called me out of that. Look what he says there in verse 15. And the Lord took me
as I followed the flock. He said, God just took me. He said, there I was just doing my own thing, living my own life, and God just came to him and he says, hey, listen, I want you to go down there to Israel and I want you to preach down there the message that I have for you to give them. And what does he say? Okay. He just said, okay. He just did what God asked him and called him to do. Now, he knew when he got down to Israel that all those people down there wasn't going to like what he had to say. He knew that before he went down there. Now, he already knew before he went down there that they were not going to listen and not going to really enjoy what he had to preach about. Because there were going to be some things that he was going to say that he knew, most of what he said, he knew was going to be very hard for them. And it was going to step on toes and it was going to break hearts. And he already knew it was going to be hard. And now here the priest is, the one that's supposed to be over the house of God. This great man of God, supposed to be this great man of God. Now he's telling him to get out of town because we don't want to hear what you got to say. So when they kick Amos out, they're in essence saying, God, we don't want you here. But see, they said, God, we don't want you here a long time ago when they declared the chapel the king's and not God's. They kicked God out a long time ago before Amos ever got there. That's why Amos was there. And there in verse 15, he said, and the Lord took me. Aren't you glad that God would take you just for who you are and as you are? Amen. Just for who you are and as you are. Doesn't matter where you're at. See, God knew where Amos was at. And God went down to Amos and he told him. He said, listen, this is what I want you to do. And God just took him for who he was, as he was, to go out there and just to preach a message that God had him to give. And hey, God does the same thing today. He does the same thing today. The Bible says, he said, the Lord took me as I followed the flock. And the Lord said unto me, go prophesy unto my people Israel. He says, now therefore hear thou the word of the Lord. I'm glad he said that. You know what he was in essence saying? He was saying, I'm not done yet. You want me to get out of here? You want me to get out of Dodge? Listen, you don't like what I got to preach about? You don't like the fact that I'm preaching on sin? The land can't handle it. The world can't handle it. You don't like the fact that I'm stepping on toes? And you don't like the fact that the Holy Spirit of God is bringing conviction on the hearts? You can't handle it? You don't like that? He says, well, listen, I got good news for you. I'm not done yet. I got a little bit more to go. He says, so now therefore hear the word of the Lord. Thou sayest, prophesy not against Israel, and drop not thy word against the house of Isaac. He says, listen, you're saying, don't come down here and preach on sin. Don't come down here and preach on negative things. And don't come down here and preach on judgment. And you're telling me not to come down here and preach on none of that stuff. But listen, that's what you need to hear the most. God's giving you what you need to hear the most. But listen, people don't want to hear what God wants them to hear the most. Does that make sense? It's exactly right. People, they don't want to hear it because the world cannot handle it. And he says, well, before I go, I got one more message. And he says, I want you to hear now the word of the Lord. He wasn't going to quit. He wasn't going to give up. And he says, you say to not to prophesy against Israel? You say not to drop not any word against the house of Isaac? Don't preach against this. You're telling me not to preach against this and not to preach against this and not to preach against this? You're telling me not to do all that stuff? He says, well, listen, I got good news. I'm not done yet. I've got a little bit more to go. And notice what he says. He says, therefore, thus saith the Lord. Let me tell you something else God says is going to happen. He says, God said this is going to happen. He says, your wife, thy wife, is going to be a harlot in the city. Now, you can imagine probably what Amaziah was probably thinking. He's probably looking at him thinking, what? What'd you just say? I can feel Amaziah's anger boiling up in him now. Thousands of years later, I bet I can just feel it. I can just feel that anger boiling up in him. He just couldn't handle it. But you know what? They were telling Amaziah, they were telling Amos to get out of there because they didn't want to hear what he had to say anymore. And Amos said, you know what? I'm going to come and do what God asked me to do. And I'm going to come and say what God asked me to say. I don't care if a hair lips the devil. I'm going to give you what he told me to do. And he comes down there and he says, listen, I'm not done yet. He says, your wife is going to be a harlot in the city. Your sons and your daughters, they shall fall by the sword. They're going to die and your land will be divided. And you're going to die in a polluted land. Wow. I would say Amos just told it like it was. And listen, I said all that to say this, that sometimes when you read God's word or it gets preached and God convicts our hearts and we need to hear it like it is from him. And I'm thankful that God's word does that. But God's word does more than just hurt us. It helps us. God's word does more than just bring conviction to us. Because with that conviction, it shows us also how we can be better. How we can change things. How we can have a different kind of life. And Amos, I can't wait to meet him in heaven one of these days. Because I can't wait to sit down beside of him and say, so how'd all that preaching go down there in Israel? Let me hear about it. Tell me about it. We need more, not just preachers, but we need God's people to be like Amos. To say, you know what? We're living in a land today that's having a hard time dealing with the reality and truth of God's word. And we got to just say, hey, you know what? This is what God says. The Bible says, be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. Right? So what do we do? We preach the truth in love. Right? We say, yeah, this isn't right. But you know what? This is what God says about it. But the good thing about this is this is what you can do about it. This is how you can change it. So we preach the truth in love. Wise as serpents, harmless as doves. And preach the truth in love. And you know what? And we preach, hey, this, we don't just preach the good things that God says. But we also say, listen, this is what God says is going to happen. Listen, if you don't get saved, then this is what's going to happen. But listen, the good thing about this is that you don't have to die and go to hell. This is something you have to do. This is what you are. You're a sinner. You're lost. But listen, you don't have to die that way. You don't have to end that way. You can get saved. And God can change your life, and he can change your family. And your eternity can be changed. Your eternity can be different. So God doesn't just leave us with an empty hand. We come to him with our hands open, and God will put, you come to God with your hand open, and God will put something in it. The Bible tells us that whenever we come to him, when we come to him to have our hands out and our mouth open, because he's willing to put something in it, he's ready to feed you. Ready to feed you. So whenever we come to the house of God and you're just in your personal life, listen, just understand that when the truth comes, it's going to help us. Amen? It's going to help us. It's going to help us. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning.